I'm sure there are those of you who might have been in the classroom and have realized that there are some students who just do not test well. They do great on their assignments. They take great notes. But when it comes to taking the test, they don't do as well as they could. They stress over these tests because along with the test comes the possibility of failure. And failure at a test or anything in life can be painful and costly, or sometimes extremely inconvenient. Those who have taken the driving test more than once probably knows what that's like. But failure can be a tremendous teacher. It may also be a teacher of lessons that we are not able to learn in any other way. Tonight, I'd like to look at an episode of one man's failure and what it taught him and how it can teach us today. I'd like to look briefly at the incident of Aaron, Moses' brother. And let's see about what he went through and what it can help us see today and what it can teach us. Before we look at his failure, I'd like to give a little background on Aaron. Many of you probably know quite a bit about him. Exodus 4 and verse 14 tells us that he was Moses' brother, that he was appointed to be Moses' spokesman to the Israelites and to the Pharaohs in Egypt. Moses was reluctant to speak, so God gave Aaron the task of speaking on Moses' behalf. Aaron and his sons were later selected by God to serve as priests in the ministry of the tabernacle while the Jews wandered in the desert. Probably if you saw Moses, there was Aaron right there next to him. He was devoted to Moses, except for maybe one time when him and Miriam criticized Moses' leadership. But he was always there. He was his right-hand man. Like Moses, Aaron was not permitted to enter into the promised land. He was told by God to pass on the priesthood to his son, Eleazar, and he died on Mount Hor. It seems that by reading the scriptures that Aaron was greatly loved by the people. Numbers 20 and verses 27 through 29 tells us that they mourned and wept for him for 30 days. He was a great servant of God. And he was the first to serve the people as a whole. However, he was a man who experienced great failure in his life and ministry. Well, let's kind of set the scene a moment that leads up to his great failure. The people have escaped Egypt. They were camped out in the desert. God had provided food and water in a miraculous way for them. God has spoken to the people, and their instructions in his laws and his ways had begun. The people had been given instructions as to the system and the place of worship which Aaron and his sons were appointed to serve as priests. There was a lot of activity going in the preparation of the tabernacle, the various elements that were to be used in worship. It was during this time that Moses was called up to Mount Sinai to be given the laws that he would be able to give to the people, the commandments of God himself that was to be inscribed in stone. And Moses, as we know, was gone for a period of time. You can understand patience You can understand having to wait for a period of time if you've ever had to go to the doctor and you had an appointment and you're sitting there and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting and you've looked at your watch a dozen times and you're already an hour behind when you were scheduled to see. Imagine days going by and you're expecting someone to come. These people were getting impatient. They had waited too long. And it was during this time in Exodus 32 in the first 8 verses that tells us that it was this time that Aaron's leadership failed. And he failed also in his priestly role. When you look in these verses, you find some things. The people start getting fidgety and restless. Their religion was the center of their lives, and nothing was happening. Moses was gone. They wanted to have a religious feast. They wanted a religious activity, and they demanded that Aaron provide one. Now, the tabernacle and everything associated with it had not been completed. These were all things still in the making. But the people wanted to worship, and they wanted to celebrate now. They didn't want to wait for Moses to come down. They didn't want to wait for the completion of God's place or even the method of worship. And so Aaron, who was raised in Egypt in Egyptian ways, tries to pacify a seemingly revolt that was affixing to occur. And he gave in to their demands. Remember, Aaron is the spokesman. Moses is the leader. And God speaks and instructs Moses, not Aaron. You may not have known how to hurry up the completion of the work, but he knew who the leader was. And Aaron knew enough to know that he should have waited. So the scriptures tell us thus that Aaron collects the gold and that he produces a golden calf, which in Egypt is the symbol for fertility and prosperity. As far as pagan gods went, this was a masterpiece. But it was in no way designed, I believe, to dishonor God. I mean, look at the masterpieces that we build today. I remember most of you know or have heard of Robert Schuller out in California. I used to watch him on TV when he was collecting money for his crystal cathedral. The one thing I never understood is why you would build a house of glass in an earthquake zone. But that's neither here nor there. But you see, we build these idols to certain things for something totally. We're not intending to dishonor God, but we do. Aaron's intentions were noble. He wanted to quiet the people down. He wanted to give them a legitimate and satisfying worship experience. But you see how quickly things can go wrong? These folks started off wanting to worship God, but they reverted back to their pagan practices. They were mixing immorality in with their religious festivals. And they go from idolatry to excesses in immoral and indecent conduct. But the scene switches a little bit in Exodus 32, starting in verse 9 and going through verse 18. To Moses on the mountain, who, after being informed by God of his anger at the people because of their sins, he pleads with God, not to destroy them. He rushes back off of the mountain. I don't know how many of you have ever tried running downhill on a mountain. I'm sure that there were no National Park Service trails that were kind of free of debris and give you at least some semblance. But he rushes back to the camp. In verse 32, starting in verse 19, "And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands, and he broke them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said to Aaron, What did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them?" Look at how Aaron faced his failures. He said, "Let not your anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, and that they are set in mischief." He wouldn't even take responsibility. It was the people. "For they said to me, Make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. And then I said to them, Whosoever has any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it in the fire, and there came out this calf." "The devil made me do it." Isn't that what we think sometimes? We do something wrong, we always kind of push the blame off to somebody else. They forced him into it. You know how they are. You just no reasoning with them. "It's not my fault. Look, I just threw the gold in the fire and out popped this calf." "You were gone. I had to do something." How many times can we ourselves repeat the same thing? Because of his weakness and his failure to stand up for what was right, look what happens as we go down further. 3,000 were punished for it. They lost their lives, 3,000 men. Of course, you know, as a teacher, that rebellion stopped. It was the people that broke the covenant with God to be faithful and not worship idols. And what was the result? It was guilt and shame. Aaron's reputation before God, how do you think that stands right now at this moment? What about his standing in the sight of Moses and the people? To say that it was seriously compromised would be an understatement. It was Aaron who was chosen to be a minister unto God for the people, and he disgraced himself with this horrible, terrible failure. But you know, it doesn't end here. Well, after this episode that occurred, the people had rededicated themselves. And they worked diligently to complete the work on the tabernacle and all the equipment that was associated with it and all of the special priestly garments. Moses receives and passes on a new set of laws that God gave him. The same ones, just rewritten on different tablets because Moses broke the other ones. And the people prepared to worship God according to the command and purpose and design. So now we fast forward to Exodus chapter 40. Another episode, important episode in Aaron's life. In Exodus 40, and starting in verse 12 and reading through verse 16. These instructions were given to Moses. And you shall bring Aaron and his sons into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and wash them with water. And you shall put upon Aaron the holy garments and anoint him and sanctify him that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons and clothe them with coats. And you shall anoint them as you did anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. For their anointing shall surely be on everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Thus did Moses according to all the Lord commanded him, so did he. This miserable failure, this man who had demonstrated how incompetent that he was able to do the very thing that he was called upon to do. This is the same man, Aaron, who these words were spoken of. Success out of failure. Success out of failure. You know, at the beginning I said that failure is a good teacher. And we reviewed Aaron's failures in order to highlight a few lessons that we can learn from his experience. You know, Aaron is not the only one. He's not the only one. We look at David. We look at Solomon. We look at Peter. We look at great men in history who have failed and learned. Aaron was chosen by God. He was given power and position. But we need to remember that this does not give and guarantee a life without failure. God can use us to serve Him not because we're great, but because He's great. The alpha types, the overachievers, those who have succeeded in many areas need to understand that they can fail and fail badly. We also need to understand, even though we may not be of these types, that we can fail and we can fail badly. We need to realize that God can still use us. Even after we failed, because God's love is greater than our post or our future achievements. Our failures are never forgotten, but they are forgiven. Now you might say, well, God forgives and He forgets. We just read about Aaron's failure. That's not been forgotten. We read about David's failure. That's not forgotten, but it's been forgiven. We read about Solomon. His failures are not forgotten, but they're forgiven. And we could go on and on with the list. Aaron's failure is forever recorded in the Bible for all to see. God didn't leave anything out. But you see, Aaron could go on with his life. He could go on with his ministry, for God forgave him of his stumbling. Some think that so long as they can remember their own or somebody else's mistake, there is no real forgiveness. But that's not true. That's not true. Aaron's story reminds us that we need to focus more on God's forgiveness instead of our failures if we wish to regain our confidence for the future, as well as for the ability and the desire to forgive others. Do you know what failure does? We don't often see it because we wallow in the failure, but failure lays the groundwork for success and improvement. Gary, how many times have you built something with your hands and you messed it up? But you go back and you redo what you're doing and you get it right the second time because you learn from the mistake. Aaron learned a hard lesson in this episode with the golden calf. Can you imagine what it taught him in preparing him for the rigors of the ministry that he was going to be involved in? What did his failure do for him? It improved his capacity for compassion and understanding. Despite the splendor of the tabernacle, despite the divine mysteries of the sacrificial system, aside from the beauty and the commanding presence of the priestly garments, Aaron never lost sight of the fact that, like the people he represented, he too was only a frail human being in need of God's mercy. The lesson he learned that fateful day was indelibly stamped on his heart. He would not forget that. From start to finish, the Bible tells and retells the story of man's continual failure in keeping God's commands. But you know what? It also recounts God's continual effort at forgiving and restoring a failed humanity. Now, this should give us confidence to approach him the next time we think we failed too badly to ask for forgiveness. Ask him to be our Lord, and we his sons and daughters, or even ministers again. If you fail, take this lesson to heart. Let God forgive you of these things. Let him show you how to build a glorious life based on your forgiven past. Use the examples that he has left behind to restore yourself. Let the God of love and mercy into your heart through repentance and baptism, or maybe even being restored this day. If there's anyone here this evening in need of the prayers of the congregation, we want to give you that opportunity today. If you need to make things right with God, we need you to make that happen today. Don't let it go on another day. Don't go another day in this life without having an inheritance. The inheritance of everlasting life is promised to those who obey God and his commandments, to heed the gospel call. If there's anyone that has a need this evening, we want to give you that opportunity as together we stand and we sing.